Lord, free us from the cares that we carry with us today. Help us to set our hearts and minds on you, that we may hear you speak to us today. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, worry. We do it all the time. Should I wear a tie today? Does anyone still wear ties, apart from Cam? Is the knot right? Is it too long? Is it too formal? Is this one too flippant? What hidden messages are in all these laughing faces? Do dots go with checks? Does it match my shirt? Or maybe my shoes at least? Well, let's get rid of it, or you'll spend the rest of the sermon worrying about your pastor's fashion sense. Well, maybe I should let you know it was Margie's suggestion, but if I did that, I'd really have something to worry about. But we worry about more serious things too. Are the kids okay? Are they abandoning God? Are they with the wrong crowd? What about those test results? Could it be cancer? And if you don't have enough worries, then spending 5 minutes in front of the TV will keep you up half the night worrying. And speaking of that, just last night I woke up worrying about something and then realised it was all just a dream. Well, the word in Greek, the word to worry, is also the word for divide. And that's what worry does. It divides the mind. It distracts us from other things. And worry has spawned huge industries that promise to soothe or heal or distract us from our worries. Drug companies, therapists, masseurs, the entertainment and tourist industries. They're all built around worry in one way or another. At its worst, worry can lead to fear or depression or neuroses, heart attacks, even death. Is it a sin to worry? That gives Christians something else to worry about. Should I worry about worrying? I spent the last week worrying about how to preach on worry. Even Paul was worried. He was anxious for his new churches. Was Jesus worried? Well, he was certainly under enormous stress in Gethsemane. Perhaps, like anger, there is a godly form of worry, of anxiety. But in general, we should avoid worry. But how? How should we deal with worry? Well, listen to Jesus in the passage just read. 3 times he said, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. And 3 more times the word anxiety comes up. But he doesn't leave it there. He gives 7 reasons in this passage why we shouldn't worry. And so we'll go through these quickly. First of all, life is too important. First reason. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? More food, drink, covering, protecting our bodies, these are all basic needs. But is that all that life is about? Are we no different to animals? To a cat? Life's all about eating, drinking, and being comfortable, and making sure your pet human is trained to do all these things for you. Right, cat owners? Well, in Jesus' time, food, drink, clothes, these could be life and death concerns. Surely it was okay to worry about where your next meal came from, or whether the drinking water was safe, or whether you had enough clothes to get you through the icy winter. But even so, Jesus warned that life was too important to worry about even the essentials of life. There are more important things than that. Now, that's not our situation generally. Today, we tend to ask not, will I get to eat a chicken, but what did the chicken get to eat before I eat it? Now, it's important to treat animals with kindness, but we live in an age where food, drink, clothing have all become luxuries that we obsess about. Aussies spend more on their pets than on helping fellow humans in poor nations. And out of every 9 cups of coffee we drink, only 1 cup's worth goes to foreign aid. Surely our priorities as a nation, as a people, are sadly out of whack. Well, the second reason Jesus gives why we shouldn't worry: you are too important. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? If God feeds the animals, will he not also feed us, humans made in his image? He loves us so much as to send his Son to die for us. Will he not also give us what we need if we ask him? John Stott, this series I'm doing at the moment on the Sermon on the Mount, I'm drawing a lot from John Stott's book. John Stott was a great Bible teacher, and many of you will have read his stuff. You may not know he was also an avid bird watcher. A lot of people thought, well, he's just one of these Pommy eccentrics, you know, watching birds. Well, when he came to this passage, he gleefully pointed out that what Jesus is commanding here is for all of us to watch birds. So bird watching is a godly occupation. And Stott went on to point out, well, actually birds do, they don't just sit around and the food comes in. They actually work very hard, and some of them even go and find it and store it. You know, like squirrels storing acorns, some birds get insects and spike them on thorn bushes so that they can come and eat them later. And so it is with us. We shouldn't just expect God to shower us with blessings while we sit on our backsides doing nothing. Now, God will provide, but we need to work too. The third reason we shouldn't worry: it doesn't do anything. You know, confession here, I failed English in year 11. If only I'd worried more. What about that crooked knee? Maybe I need to spend more time worrying about it. Surely that'll fix it. Well, such ideas are ludicrous, aren't they? Who wished they'd spent more time worrying? It does nothing. And we humans are so powerless. I mean, I can't even stop the weeds growing in my lawn. How can worry help us with anything, let alone the big issues in life? Can any of you add a single cubit to his height by worrying? Or some versions say, can any of you add a single hour to his life by worrying? Now, this is one of those passages where the Greek can mean either, be read either way, and in fact both readings may be correct. So worry will add nothing to your health, height, or lifespan. Worry may not increase our health or lifespan, but worry can certainly decrease both as we get bent over with the cares of life, as we suffer an early death. And if all the worry in the world will do nothing for life or body, why do we worry about things of lesser importance? God knows when our lives will end. All the worrying I do will not add a single millimetre to my height, And yet God grows us all by 3 or 4 cubits, that is a half a metre, without us doing anything. Fourth reason, God cares about you. Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor spin, yet not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Sorry, I've turned over 2 pages. I've started worrying I've lost my spot. God cares about his creation. He cares about flowers because he's a creative God. He likes beauty. He likes us to have beautiful things to enjoy. He even cares about the grass, which will die tomorrow. Mine's already dead. If he cares about such little things, will he not care for us? Or is our faith so small that we doubt this? Just think, what does worry say about us? It says to God, I don't trust you, so I'd better worry about my own life, because you won't care for me. That's what worry is saying to God. Well, fifth reason. We shouldn't worry because that's the pagan's job. The pagans worry. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, the pagans, seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Well, what do the Gentiles seek in 2023? Well, look around us outside. Liquor stores, coffee shops, they're thriving. TV is awash with cooking shows, food shows. The papers are full of clothing ads. And look at the money and energy that goes into furniture, home renovation, cars, health. Are we any different? Are Christians any different to pagans? Or are we practical pagans in what we really seek? But let's ask a hard question of God. What if God won't provide, despite my prayers, despite my faith? What about the starving Christians, the suffering Christians in Ukraine, in Syria? Where is God when they didn't even get their daily bread today? Well, God has determined when the time for each of us will come to die, and he warns us time and again that suffering is expected for Christians. And for some, the time may come for illness, for hardship, for even starvation. But in Christ, starvation, even death, are not the end. What then shall we fear? What do we need to worry about? Not famine or hardship or sword, as Paul says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. This leads us to the sixth reason. The kingdom matters more, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is life about? Food and clothing, or God's honour and glory? Tomorrow's little crisis, or God's eternal plan? My pitiful efforts, or God's certain promises? So don't be half-hearted. Don't try and put your trust in God and money. Don't fret over life's issues while pretending to follow the king. No, Christian. Go in boots and all. Set your heart, mind, and energies on his purposes. So throw caution to the wind. Trust him with your whole heart. Make his goals your goals. Go for it. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you? Really? All these things? What are all these things? Well, the prosperity preachers take this verse and they say, this is God's promise of health and wealth. We can have all the blessings of God's kingdom here and now. Pray for health, pray for wealth, and God will give it. But Jesus had no place to lay his head. Where does Jesus fit in their preaching? Paul spent his last years not in a mansion, but in a cold prison cell. Faithful Timothy didn't have a trouble-free life with no health issues. No, he had a weak stomach and frequent ailments, we're told. The fact is, God will give us all we need to fulfill his plan, not ours. And in most cases, what we really need is not health or money or stuff, but a generous dose of humility and trust. And these are the things so often we lack. But suffering may bring these. Poverty, hunger, illness can bring these things. So where is your heart today? If your heart is set on getting healthier and wealthier, then anything getting in the way of that will make you worry. But if your heart is set on God's plan, you'll laugh when disasters strike, because even in such disasters, God is carrying out his wise and sovereign plan. Habakkuk tells us the peoples work so hard, but all in vain. All that worry, all that work. Because the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. That, friends, is where we're heading. That is our goal. That is our future. That is our hope. That is our concern. To see the time when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Isn't that just so magnificent when it's contrasted with my petty worries and concerns? What could possibly compare with that vision, that goal? The final reason. Tomorrow, let tomorrow worry about itself. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Worry is living out the future before it arrives. And it may never arrive. How many times have you worried about something only to find that the disaster never happened? Each new day is God's kind gift to us. But we can get so anxious about tomorrow that we miss the opportunities and blessings that today gives us. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great, Lord, is your faithfulness. So live in the joys and challenges of today, and let tomorrow worry about itself, because no one can predict tomorrow. But if you and I, if we live until tomorrow, we can be certain of one thing, that the Lord's new mercies will meet us there, just as they've carried us through every day. This is the Lord who will never leave us nor forsake us. So, friends, as Jesus said three times, do not be anxious. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you told us, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious for the life or for the body, but seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Help us, Lord Jesus, to do that today. In your name, amen.